Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us, the Body Love Worship Center Ministries, with Evangelist Aaron and Sheila Gervais. Just appreciate you tuning in. And tonight, last week we covered So Lovely. This week we're going to cover Say What. And I got to say it the way it says. Say what? Because that's the way it would look like. But we're going to start in Philippians chapter 4. We always start as kind of the launching pad here of that scriptures. It says verses 4 through 8, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." So tonight we're going to look at whatsoever things are of good report. Let me ask you some questions as we start this. Have you ever had someone talk about you behind your back? Well, I think we all can say we all have. This is one. Have you ever overheard someone talking about what they heard about you, not knowing who you are, and you're listening to them? Things like that does happen. Have you ever shared information about people and afterward felt bad because you knew it was all negative? Has someone ever shared a quote, prayer request with you, but you knew it was more about sharing than it was about praying? Now, some say that the sin of gossip is the one sin that the church is best at. And I probably have to agree with that. It is a very good assumption. It's also a sin that most churches don't consider a sin. It's concerns. But we all know that that is a masquerade. All of these things I just mentioned are all opposite of what the scripture suggests we do. Remember the things that are of good report and what we are to think about. So we are going to look at gossip, and which is the opposite of good report, and then what we are to dwell on, which is opposite that. So the first thing we have to understand, this is no rocket science, just a revelation, but it's gossip is not of God. Gossip is not of God. In fact, we're going to look at 1 Timothy chapter 5. We're going to read verses 12 to 13 and then verse 15. Now, in this message, you might say amen at some of these things. You might have to say ouch. As Sheila says, sometimes you might have to curl your toes. Because I'm going to just present this message clear, bold, right from Scripture. You're not going to get all plush with this. It's not going to be soft and cuddly. Gossip is not of God. 1 Timothy chapter 5, we're going to look at verse 12 and 13 first, and then verse 15. Listen to what it's saying. It's saying, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. Verse 15 is very bold. For some are already turned aside after Satan. So we're going to look at these passages and see what it's talking about. So the first thing we need to ask ourselves is, what is gossip? Simply put, any time we speak something true or false in the attempt to make someone look bad, it is gossip. Let me repeat that. Any time we speak something true or false in the attempt to make someone look bad, it is gossip. So the first thing about gossip is not of God is busybodies. They are busybodies in not what is important, but in what is not important. This passage is in context of younger widows that get to the point that they start this, but can be applied to anyone. Let us break this passage down a bit. In verse 12 again, it says, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. You see, when a person starts to do this, they are showing that they are leaving the first faith, which is Christ and his goodness. It parallels something that we do see in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee," and this is Jesus speaking in Revelation, "because thou hast left thy first love." You see, anytime we start to not resemble Christ, but resemble the world, resemble Satan, resemble the enemy, we're casting off the first love, casting off the first faith. It's not a very good place to be. And then verse 13, it talks about they were becoming gossips, idlers, busybodies. They don't busy themselves with what Christ would want them to do, but instead they ignore him, ignore his word, and just start doing things they shouldn't. But verse 15 in that passage I read is the stark reality of what gossip is. It says, "For some are already turned aside after Satan." You see, Satan is the adversary and the accuser. In fact, that is what his name means, the accuser. And that's what gossips do, so that they are after the image of Satan as they do it. You see, God made us in his image, but he wants us to be in his image and his character and his nature and everything. But when you gossip, you're accusing people. You are a part of what Satan is doing, and it's a very, very dangerous place to be as a non-believer, but especially as a believer. You see, another thing about gossips is they add falsehood to stories. Gossips add falsehood to stories. Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, has a lot to say about gossips, and we're going to look at quite a few verses, really, that's in Proverbs. Proverbs 18, verse 8, it says, "The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly." The words of the talebearer are as wounds. You see, when someone gossips about you and then adds to those lies, what does it make you feel like? It feels like a punch in the gut, and it turns your stomach. See, the Bible's very good in how it explains what things do. The words that a gossip uses are as wounds. They hurt us. The old saying, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me," it's not true. It's more like "sticks and stones may break my bones," but words, yeah, they really do hurt too. See, not only words about you, but when you take in words about someone else and you know those words are lies, they become very bitter within you. You can hold them for a while, but they will cause nervousness. They will cause stress. And that churning in the pit of your stomach that it causes is really guilt. See, the Holy Spirit is also convicting you to give it up and let it go and not be a part of that. One of the main reasons gossip that involves lies eat at you so much is that it runs, once again, very closely to the nature of Satan himself. So gossip does the first thing, it accuses people, always accusing and trying to put people down. That's what Satan does. And so when you're a gossip, you are aligning yourselves with Satan in that you're accusing. But also, when you add lies to that, or you just don't know the truth, but you're going to repeat it anyway, John 8:44 really is a very startling just a revelation of what it's like. John 8:44, "Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." So if you're getting yourself in gossip, and let me tell you, and I'm going to mention it in a minute as well, but if you say, "Well, I don't gossip, I just share concerns." Well, you can't do that. That is labeling it something different does not make it something different. It is the same exact thing. Someone says, "Well, I don't murder people. I just take a blunt object and hit them over the head really, really hard until they don't breathe anymore." It's going to be the same thing as murder. So you can say it's sharing prayer requests. You can say it's sharing concerns. But it's gossip. If you're doing anything to put people down, you are being the accuser. And if you're adding lies to it, the Bible says you are becoming like your father, the devil. And that is a very scary place to be. See, listen to this truth and listen to it deeply. The attitudes and actions These people clearly identify them as followers of Satan. They may not be conscious of this, but their hatred of truth, their lies, and their murderous intentions indicate how much control Satan has over them. They are his tools in carrying out his plans, and they speak the same language of lies. See, gossip being used by a believer or in the church is something very dangerous. It is something that is used by the enemy to hurt people and to keep the local church separated so that it's sometimes powerless to do what Christ has called them to do. I believe one of the things gossip does is help fulfill scriptures. The Bible says, in the last days we will have the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And that goes all the way from preaching a soft gospel, not really giving the gospel out of repentance. But it also, the gossip incorporates that in the church, and it really renders the church powerless to do what Christ has called them to do. Most importantly, it changes the believer, it cages the believer that is doing it in a trap of lies and deceit. You see, one time as I was preaching at a church, I had a person that on a Sunday morning, they would never call somebody and say, "I don't like what the pastor preached today, and I'm against it, and I'm I don't know scriptures, but I just don't like what he said." Well, you see, gossips usually are a little bit more conniving than that. And this is how this person did it. They would call somebody and say, "Did you listen to the pastor's sermon today?" And the next question is, "What do you think?" And then the next question, "Do you really think he's preaching what the Bible says?" Well, prayerfully at that time, I had some good people that actually called this person out on the phone as they started it. And you think they called one person? No, they called one person, the next person. I found out one time they called over 10 people in the church on the same night trying to do this. All of this is gossip, and it's designed to hurt people. So once again, you could call it what it is. But gossip is a lie. You could call it concern. You could call other stuff. But gossip is sin. See, Abraham Lincoln had a favorite riddle he used to put to his colleagues. It went like this. If a man were to call the tail of a dog a leg, how many legs would a dog have? 5 was the answer every time. "Wrong," Lincoln would say with a homely smile. "The dog still have 4 legs. Calling the tail a leg doesn't make it 1. And that is so true. See, calling gossip by any other words doesn't make it anything else but gossip. The other thing is we have to realize is gossips find themselves alone over time. Gossips find themselves alone over time. And what's really interesting is why they gossip to begin with. We're going to look at some more reasons in a moment. But one of the reasons is so that they will be liked. People will want to hear their stories. They will want to hear what they have to say because it's juicy. And what happens is, and this is the part that we as believers need to pray for those who get caught in it, because the very thing that they're wanting to be liked after a period of time is the very thing that's not going to happen in their lives. People are not going to like them. And so gossips find themselves alone over time. In Proverbs chapter 17, verse 9, says this, "He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends." And so when you cover it, you don't sit there and talk about it and share it with others. You're seeking love. But if you repeat something and over and over and over, it separates very friends, not only those who the gossip may be about, but also of yourself. And so we have to look at that and see what's going on. See, the key to making sure we are not a gossip is to remember and bring up the sin of others. We can't remember and keep bringing up the sin of others. It is important not to keep a record of someone's sins to share with others. It doesn't matter if those sins are against us or not. We don't go retelling them to others. Now, this should be a very simple thing to understand, but the golden rule, Jesus says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Well, if you don't want people going around telling everything they know about you, then why would you do it of someone else? It's a very simple rule that Christ gave us. See, the key to making sure We are not gossiping is to not share those sins with others. Once again, it may feel good at that time, and others are going to go along with it for a while, but then something will happen. They're finally going to realize something about the gossip. Who gossips to you will gossip of you. I'm going to repeat that. Whoever gossips to you will gossip of you. You know, and I have experienced that personally in my own family. There was a person in our family that every time we were around them, they would just trash other family members. They would trash my siblings. They would trash other family members, trash the pastor. They would trash just everybody. And I knew exactly what would happen with this. And sure enough, somebody came by one day and said these words. You realize when you're not around, they trash you just as bad as they trash everybody else? And it's so true, because that's their nature. See, not only does gossip cause friction between others that the gossip is about, it actually backfires on the gossiper over time. And they will find that they will start to be alone because nobody wants to hang around them. Nobody cares anymore what they have to say. The second thing we're going to look at in this message is, why is gossip so tempting? Why is it such a temptation? Understand, I believe no one wakes up in the morning, yawns, puts their feet on their floor and says, you know, I want to go out today and try to verbally ruin someone today. I just want to gossip around town and tear them down. I want to call the church people and drag them through the mud so they feel awful. I don't believe that anybody wakes up in the morning and that's their goal. So it starts very simply. Some say the worst gossip, once again, is the church's prayer chain. Some masquerade gossip as, quote, prayer concerns. But instead of praying, they spend more time sharing information about the people involved. Once again, I was a pastor of a church, and that became a problem at one time, where people would call the prayer chain, and I was getting calls saying, Pastor, we got to do something different with this prayer chain. Because we'll call somebody, and they're like, well, first, let me ask, was that person related to so-and-so, and are they married to so-and-so? Is there brothers and sisters? Oh, I remember their brother years ago. Oh, he got caught stealing something, and that put him out of a life of crime. And these people would talk 15, 20 minutes on gossip they know about each other before they would even pray. That gossip, that prayer chain became the gossip chain. And, you know, for churches that find themselves in that, you know, we finally got to a better way to do that, at least on the chain. We just sent out emails and text, had a short blip of what we want to pray for. One person sent it out to everybody. There was no taking it from person to person to person. It just went out to everybody. You prayed. That's it. And that is so important to do. And so it really can help some churches out there to stop the gossip chain. And make it really into the prayer chain again. See, it starts, once again, because the news about somebody is just interesting. It's just so interesting. Sometimes we get just bored with our own lives so much that the news of others excite us. And in fact, some people actually live vicariously through others. Their lives are so boring that they get so wrapped up in the gossip and the news of others, they make it a reality for their own lives. In fact, I had a pastor one time that told of a story about a woman who was gossiping about people, and their gossip became actually prayer concerns in the church. And she was so wrapped up in these people that she would stand up on a Sunday night and give prayer concerns for these people, and they prayed for these people for months. Well, over a period of time, there was another person that got saved in the church and came on a Sunday night and heard these prayer requests, and she had to meet with the pastor after the church and had to inform him. She goes, do you realize who we're praying for? And the pastor said, no, we're praying for some people on a soap opera. This woman was living vicariously through so many people, got caught up in so much gossip and drama that the TV characters became a reality for her, and she actually brought the TV characters on the soap operas concerned before the church, and they've been praying for these characters for months. And so it's kind of comical how that happens, but it shows how people can get lost up in this type of stuff. You see, it is tempting because some people seem to thrive off the misfortune of others. The reason is simple. When you know someone else's life is having difficulty and they messed up and are not doing well, it makes you feel better about yourself. And I'm going to go on so far as this. Sometimes the gossip is about a sin someone might be doing. You might have the same sin or even something worse. But you're going to tear somebody else through the mud because you want all attention on somebody else so they don't see yours. Be very careful. See, God tells us that temptation comes and why we fall. Why do people get tempted to gossip? What is it that gets us to want to share that juicy information that's going to hurt somebody's reputation? Why? James chapter 1, verse 14. Listen to this. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. See, it is a lust within us that wants to look better than others. See, that is why when a company doesn't have anything good to offer that makes them stand out from the competition, what do? They just turn around and attack the competition. They think pushing someone else down will make them look better. You look at politicians. They do the exact same thing. Sometimes they start at the beginning of the campaign. Sometimes they start closer to end. But when things aren't going well, they automatically start to drag other people through the mud because they think it makes them look better. You know, and sometimes that gossip is just, it masquerades as concern. Let me tell you an example of this, and I'm going to have to tell on myself because I was guilty along with everybody else. When we were in Japan, We went to a church, and we had a guy and a girl. They were engaged and very godly. He was teaching. He would teach Sunday school sometimes, things like this. But he had to go to Turkey for like 6 months without his fiance. And one day I was at work, and somebody came in, was telling about how a girl went to a club and just, well, let's just say, threw off clothing items during this club. And in this process, they said a name, and I'm like, oh, this can't be. This is a person who helps teach Sunday school in my church. Her husband's gone. I'm like, you can't be talking about this person. And sure enough, they were. And then they talked about other things this individual has done, and my heart dropped like a rock because this concern I had for this Christian man not knowing what was happening. And like I said, I'm telling on myself. And so some other people had heard it, and we brought the concern. We were talking about it. We took it to our pastor because we're concerned for the other person. And sometimes, once again, there is a good concern, and we have to share things sometimes. But about a week later, during a Sunday night message, the pastor preached something. He said it was the beginning of the – we just had worship, and all he said is he got up to the pulpit. And evidently, this man had been praying and fasting because he didn't preach very long at all. In fact, his sermon was this, and I'm quoting the words. There's news about somebody in this church. If you are talking about this individual more than you are praying about this individual, you need to come to the altars and repent and receive forgiveness. You know what's weird about that service? Of about 75, 80 people, we had about 60 people at the altars, crying, repenting, myself included, because it became a juicy story. It was an unbelievable thing, and we repented. We realized who has went to that person and loved them back to Christ. Find out why they're doing it, help them, and love that person back to Christ instead of trying to just spread it. What was interesting is after that happened, we went to a place where a lot of people after church gathered for food, and guess who was there? this man's fiance. And I have to admit, I saw a church embrace her. Nobody condemned her. And she started coming back. And the things that she was doing went away. And we praise God for that. And once again, it was just a difference of what's really true, what should be going on in the church. And let me tell you, what happened after it was the good report. Was the good report. What was happening before was just gossip. And so we have to understand, we need to see that God wants us on a much better path. So the third point we're going to look at is freedom to love the good report. There is freedom to love the good report. Now I'm going to read a passage in Ephesians. And this is really what the church should be. This is what our individual lives in Christ should look like. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 through 32. Now, before I read this passage, I want you to bring back into your memory this week everything you've said about somebody else. Everything you have said to your spouse about your spouse. Everything you've said to your kids about your kids. Everything you've said, because let me tell you now, let me preface this. Some people think gossip means you never share bad information, ever. That is not the case. Remember what I said gossip was. Gossip is the sharing of true or false information to tear somebody down. If somebody does you wrong and robs from you and cheats you, it's not gossip to say, we're being robbed and cheated, how can we stop this? That's not gossip. Gossip is going around and just trying to make somebody feel bad, look bad, and push them down for things. That there's a line there some is protection. I'm going to get into that a little bit later. But listen to this passage. Ephesians 4, 29 through 32. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Edifying means to build up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. That all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Wow. See, this is the will of God, and what He wants our words to be used for, the building up of others. That it might, that He wants you to speak in a way that those who you talk to and those who hear, it will minister to them the grace of Christ. To disobey this is to tear down others who are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And He says when you do that, you grieve the Holy Spirit. Why? Because someone else who's a believer that the Holy Spirit is living in, when you come against that person, think about it, you're trying to tear down a temple of the Holy Spirit. That's scary if you think about what's really happening. So yeah, these churches where you have believers trying to tear at each other just because somebody made a decision that went against their opinion, and now they're going to tear each other down. We are grieving the Holy Spirit. No wonder sometimes the world around us don't see Jesus Christ when sometimes Christians can't see Christ in each other. Dwell on that for a second. How can the world see Christ in us when sometimes Christians can't see Christ in each other? Instead, He wants us to put away all the things that wrongly offend people, and instead be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. You see, we're not perfect. We're all going to mess up on this. Somebody's going to get you mad. You're going to say the wrong thing, things you don't want to say. It happens. It happens amongst all of us. But what's important is the heart. Is the heart wanting to do good? Is the heart wanting to do better? And that's the important thing that God wants, and that's what God will work with. See, God wants us to think on whatsoever is of a good report. And that good reporting starts with us. Are we going to be those who that share a good report? You see, God wants us to bless and not to harm with our words. God wants us to bless and not to harm people with our words. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 13. Proverbs 11, 13 talks about this. As soon as I find it. Okay, Proverbs 11, 13, it says this. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. See, when you hear something or overhear something about somebody, the temptation is to retell the matter to someone else. But in the attitude of Christ, who does not glory in the misfortune of others, we are supposed to follow in his steps, his example. Be the one that is of a faithful spirit, that passage says. Faithful to God, and don't pass it on. If you have to tell somebody about it, tell God. Say, God, I just heard some bad information about someone. You already know it. Now I know it. And if you start telling God, listen, if you're a person who gets caught up in gossip, start gossiping to God. Just gossip all you want to God. Sit on a fence. Gossip to God. Sit in your car. Gossip to God. Start talking to your phone without calling anybody and start gossiping to God. What you realize is that you're praying. You're praying. If you're really concerned about somebody, that gossiping will start to turn into praying for that person. Because guess what? You cannot talk to God and tear somebody down at the same time. You might start that way, but what's going to happen is the Holy Spirit will come into you and start to help you pray, earnestly, truly pray for that person. And guess what? You won't be gossiping to other people. You won't be retelling stories. See, once again, the temptation is to retell the matter to someone else. But we need to be faithful to God and don't pass it on. Instead, put it to prayer between you and the Lord and say nothing to anybody else. If you're going to talk to anybody about it, well, once again, talk to God first. Another thing you can do is go to the person you heard the gossip about. They might need to know what's being said. Let them know in the attitude of true love and caring. Better yet, how about the one who gossiped to you? Tell them you don't want to hear it no more. Uh-oh. Uh-oh, what's going to happen? Remember what I said before? Sometimes gossips find themselves alone. Well, sometimes they need to be, because that's a way that God can lead them to repentance. Let them sometimes be alone so they can receive that repentance from God and be corrected. Let's turn to James chapter 3. James chapter 3 gets really powerful in this, and how it's saying that what Christians should not be doing. James chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Listen to this. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. You see, we can't be praising God and going to church, until noon, and then at 1 o'clock we're slamming people with our verbal insults of them. See, we are to bless God and be a blessing to others with our words and never to speak curses. What that means is we are not to speak evil things on or about others by sharing their sins and weaknesses. Not sharing the gossip will help, because what always happens, if you are the person that doesn't want to hear gossip, the gossips will stop talking to you, because they know you don't like it. You want to be the one of good report. The next thing, and this is one that not only will it make them realize this, but the next thing is the Bible talks about stay away from the gossips. Stay away from them. Ladies, if you go to a salon, that's all they do is gossip, and you can't stand it, find a different salon. Just go somewhere else. Maybe if the person's cutting your hair and wants to start sharing this, look up to them. You might want to wait till after they cut your hair. But you could look up to them and say, I didn't appreciate that. I will find a different salon. Let the owner know. You see, we have to understand that as Christians, we have a choice. And once again, let's look at being what it talks about staying away from the gossip. Look at Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19. Proverbs 20, verse 19. And so here in Proverbs 20, 19, it says, he that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Don't hang around him. This verse reveals some very important aspects about the gossip. First, it is clear instruction of how we are to treat those that go about telling secrets on what they know about others. It says not to meddle with them. Don't associate with them. And what will happen is this will be a way that God will get their attention. When they look around and see that no one wants to be around them, it will be one of the ways that Christ uses to get them to repent and get them on the right path. Now, the other part is very revealing. How do you know someone is probably talking about you? They flatter you. Now, compliments are different than flattery. Compliments come from a sincere heart, and you know the person, they know you, and it's done for no other reason than to lift you up. Flattery, on the other hand, usually comes from an acquaintance, but not someone that knows you real well. It is also used from a selfish perspective in that they want something from you, of you, and usually that they want you to be on their side so they can form a group against somebody. For this, God says, therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Then one of the other points we have to look at is let gossip die. You see, gossip can come to you and you have two choices. Let it carry on or let it die. See, you might not be able to contain the gossip around everybody, but at least you can stand before God clean because you didn't do it. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 20 says this, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. See, this is so simple to get. A child can get this. If you take wood from a fire, it will go out. And if the gossips don't spread things around, the strife ceases. I believe firmly so many problems and conflicts in the church would not be if the gossips would just shut up. And I'm not going to say I'm sorry for using strong language like that. That's what they need to do. If you don't like the word shut up, I'll say be quiet very sternly. They just need to stop. Let it go. If they're going to talk, if they have such a concern, they need to be praying for those concerns and not sharing it with people to cause more strife, to get the church divided. Guess what? Most church splits are caused by gossips. It is a sin from the pit of hell. And we have to get to the point as Christians that we see it for what it is and say, you know, this is not thinking of whatsoever is a good report. We need to change that. See, once again, gossips do no good for the church of God or for society as a whole. There's no such thing as a prayer chain if they only use it for gossip. So don't share what you know and the strife will cease. The problem that people deal with will be lessened if gossips once again just keep their mouths shut and talk to God instead. There are some things you can share, though. A lot of people say, well, then what can I share about people if I hear something? When is it gossip? When is it not? The biggest thing is concentrate on the good things in others, and there will be no harm. This is not tearing down others, but protecting others. There are times we have to share. Let me give you, and I'm going to look at this a little bit in the last few moments we have. Those three things, once again, will help you think on those things that are of good report. I just went over them, but let me reiterate them. First, God wants us to bless and not to harm with our words. That will keep you on a good report. Stay away from the gossips. That will help you think on that which is a good report, not what they have to say. And let gossip die. So once again, a question is posed, can we ever share things about others? The answer is yes. Things that are of a good report. First part, you can share and reshare the good in others because it gives glory to God for the things He is doing in their lives. It is a testimony. You hear somebody gets a promotion, share that. You hear somebody gets saved, share that. You hear somebody reconcile a relationship. Don't talk about what caused the conflict. Just talk about that they're reconciled. Share things that are of a good report. Guess what? You can share those things all day long. And that is good. That is right. It gives God glory. The next thing is you can share only the needed information for a prayer request. But only if the person that you're praying about has given you permission to share it with others. This needs to be from a good heart that actually wants Christ to move in their lives for the good. If you hear something, don't stand up in your church on Sunday night. I got a prayer request because Sister Jones down the street, her son, he just got a girl pregnant. We got to pray for their soul. That's gossip. That's not a prayer concern. Did that Sister Jones give you permission to stand up in the church on a Sunday night and give that information out? If not, keep your mouth shut. Pray about it. It's all you have to do. You see, God can do more with 30 seconds of praying for somebody than 30 days of talking about somebody. Think of that for a moment. There's also a time that you may need to share something, even if it's bad, only with those in authority when it is tearing others down, protecting others from harm, whether physical, emotional, mental, or spiritual. You know something that's hurting somebody or about to cause hurt, you share that with those in authority, not your Sister Jones, Sister Barb, or whoever else. Only share those information with those in authority, a pastor, an elder, board member, policemen, teachers, principals, your boss, things like that. That's you share that to, and only them. So then they can do the corrective measures after that. See, these things will help us all think of whatsoever is of good report. This will keep our eyes on Christ and will motivate us to love Him more and love others as ourselves. If you really have to share something, share the gospel, not gossip. You can talk about the Christ cross of Jesus all day long. You can talk about the crucifixion, His burial, His resurrection, all day long. So I tell you what, if we have some gossips out there and they think they're really good at it, change what you're talking about. Instead of talking about gossip, talk about the gospel. Share that with people at the grocery store. Share that with people you meet on the street. Share it with the people you pay the bill with. Share that with your neighbor. Share that with teachers. Share that with everybody you know. Because maybe instead of tearing people down, you can be useful to reaching people for Jesus Christ. And so, once again, I'm just going to read real quick Ephesians chapter 4, 29 through 32. So I get to the right place. Ephesians 4, 29 through 32 here. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for the use of edifying, and may minister grace to the hearers. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So if you have ever been guilty of this, it's time to repent. Let Christ forgive you, cleanse you, and then use you for His glory. If you've ever been slandered and hurt, whether the things that were said were true or not, more harm came to you. Seek God for restoration and strength. See yourself through His eyes. We just receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He will save, forgive, restore, make your mouth clean. He will touch you. He will redeem you and use you for His glory and for His power. Let your words be true. Thank you for listening to Abiding Love Worship Center Ministries. You have a great night. God bless and be the child of God that you are.